And we are starting now Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, as it's known today, does everybody have a Tanakh, by the way? Everybody has a Tanakh? Usually we split it up into Sefer Melachim Aleph and Sefer Melachim Bet. The truth is that they're not two different Sfarim, they're really one Sefer. Who broke them up into two Sfarim? Anybody know? The Christian printers, and they decided, hey, you know, too big to have this in one book. You can make more money selling two books instead. They broke it up into two. The same thing with Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet, which is really one Sefer of Sefer Shmuel. Now, Melachim begins where Sefer Shmuel ended off, and it's going to take us. Anybody know what like the last event of Sefer Melachim is? Anybody know? The destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so this is a Sefer which spans a very large period of time. Let me just give you a general historical overview. The Jewish people, let's say the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim around 1300 BC. We then have, who's the next leader after Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeshua. Then? Okay, then you have all of the Shoftim, a whole book of Sefer, you know, Sefer Yeshua, then Sefer Shoftim. Number of different judges. It was a period of chaos, real chaos. No official government, no, you know, declared leader. They couldn't agree on who was going to lead the people. This person said, I'm in charge. He said, I'm in charge. Corruption, all of these things. So that's the Shoftim. And a number of famous Shoftim, Dvorah, Neviah. We have Shimshon. Who else? Anyone else? Any other Shoftim you remember? Gidon. Correct. Otniel ben Kenaz, Ehud ben Gera. So a number of different Shoftim. And then the last of the Shoftim is? Who is the last Shofet officially? Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel the prophet. And Shmuel is a very important figure in Jewish history. Moshe ve'aron becho anav. Shmuel is listed along with Moshe and Aaron as great leaders of the Jewish people. And he is, Sefer Shmuel is really the inflection point between a dispersed, decentralized, non-monarchical government, and then the transition to a kingship and a kingdom. Okay, now Shmuel then is, he's a Navi, he's a prophet for a number of years, but then the Jewish people, what do they ask for?
King.
They want a king. And who is the first king who's appointed? Shaul. Saul, okay? And Shaul HaMelech, was Hashem happy about choosing a king? No, because it seems like the Jewish people asked about this, requested this for the wrong reason, because they wanted to feel secure and they wanted to be like all the other nations, exactly. Instead of doing it for from a religious motivation. So Hashem anoints Shaul HaMelech. Is Shaul a good king, bad king? What do you think? Yeah, he started off well, but he slowly lacks confidence. Okay, and this is his Achilles heel, his fatal flaw. Ultimately, who rises to the throne? David HaMelech. And most of Sefer Shmuel is about David HaMelech. First, David HaMelech. If you had to chart Sefer Shmuel, it's up. David HaMelech's, he's a star, David HaMelech. He's a general. He's good looking. Everything he does turns to gold, but then the sin of Bathsheba, and everything goes down from there. Okay? It doesn't end in total, devastation, but David HaMelech is, as he comes to the end of his life, he's not ending off, you know, on his highest moment. And we're going to see that play out in the beginning of Melachim Aleph. Now, so the last event that happened in Sefer Shmuel is that David acquires a certain piece of property. What does he buy? Is it a penthouse, an achuza? What does he buy? What does he buy? The Goren of Aravna. What's the Goren of Aravna? This is the threshing floor of Aravna. Why is this significant? Big deal. Is this an investment? What is this? Is he going to build a tama? What is he going to build on this land? What's this land going to be for? This is going to be the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Sefer Shmuel, according to Rav Meidan, interestingly, is the story of when the Aron is not found, is not in its proper place. The Aron, remember, in the beginning of the story of Sefer Shmuel is removed, it's stolen by the Plishtim, and David HaMelech wants to try to build the Beit HaMikdash, and the last thing that he does is he purchases Goren Aravna. Goren Aravna is today the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount today has been expanded. Who expanded the Temple Mount to what it is today? Anybody know?
Herod.
It was considerably smaller back in the day. Now, where was Yerushalayim then before this? Anybody know? Where was Yerushalayim? Now Yerushalayim, we would say, is, you know, you have Ben Yehuda, and you have Mamilla, and you have the old city. Where was it? Ir David. Ir David. Now, the walls that we have today of Yerushalayim were built by Solomon the Magnificent in 1517. He rose to the throne. So they're about 400 years old, 500 years old, the walls. Where was the original Yerushalayim, where it was called Ir David at the time? That's in a place called Silwan today. Okay, right below Shar HaShbot. Okay, anyone done the tour of Ir David? Okay, now you can go from Ir David all the way to the Temple Mount and see how they used to walk up. So, and now today, maybe there are about 100 Jewish families who live in the original area of Ir David, of Silwan. I actually have cousins who live there. I've been there for Shabbat a few years back. It's not an easy place to live. At the bottom, all the way at the bottom is what? Something very important all the way at the bottom. It's going to come up in our... No, not two. What's all the way at the bottom? The water, okay? The water, the Gihon, right? The Gihon is all the way at the bottom. Anyone done that tour through, like, you take your shoes off, that's Chezkiyahu's tunnel? We're going to actually learn about how that tunnel was, why that tunnel was created, and who found it, and why it actually played a very important role in Jewish history in Sefer Melachim. So